Blog Talk Radio.
Coordinate, if you will, the schedules between the hosts, since one of our hosts is relocated to the other side of the country, you know, so, you know, trying to accommodate his schedule, and, you know, so we're trying something a little different. First, let me just start off by thanking everybody. New live record for the Madden Voice last week, live listenership. We don't know how many people are listening until the end of the show, so... You know, I wish there was a way to know while we're on the show how many people are listening, but they don't give us that information till we go off the air. So, which I guess makes sense because I don't know. I guess it was real. I wish it was real time. You know, I wish that you could see your audience almost. You know, but nevertheless, I want to thank everybody because creamed the other number that we had, and I want to thank everybody for their support. It is me, Commissioner T. The wild card round is over. Do you see how fast football comes and goes? I mean, we're already in the January of 2013. You know, we literally have 4 games this weekend, 2 games next weekend, Super Bowl, and I don't even know what they're doing with the Pro Bowl. I almost don't care. It's so horrible last year. But so what is that, 4, 6, 7 more games? 7 more football games, and it's done. It's done till September of next year. I warned you all through the season. I warned all of you. Y'all better, you know, get up with your football. Don't let the season escape you. And it's over for the majority of us other than these last 8 teams. You know, the other 24 of us are sitting here mad, including my co-host. Let's start with the guy who won the EAFL Super Bowl I championship. And you know him as the Doctor of Philosophy. We now know him as the West Coast Doctor of Philosophy, and I'm glad to have him. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Bringing out TMV from sunny California, man.
Man, I don't know whether to congratulate you or to slap you in the mouth, man. I'm, you know
right. Now we got the whole country covered. You know that, right?
Yeah. We got me out here in the East Coast. We got K-Star hanging out there in the Midwest, and then we got you sitting out there in California, man. What's the temperature today? Just make me mad.
It got to a high of 71. Last time I looked, like 60 something, you know, just over mid 60s, something like that.
I did ask, didn't I? Yeah, you did.
It's nice, man. It's nice.
I could be riding my motorcycle out there. All right, let's bring on our Mid Coast brother. He's Madden Nation Season 4 contestant. One of the best Madden players out there. We know him as Ali Quick, big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And, of course, you guys all know him as the man who still has yet to host the Madden Voice, but we still love him. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Glad to be here. And that's the viewer's fault, man. We talked about the stipulations they failed to accommodate. I'm going to fail to accommodate them. The only thing I'm going to give to them right now is just my opinions, my thoughts, the process and what goes on in my head. And, you know, I'll host a show, but it's got to take the people. Being that I'm the people's champion, to say, hey, we want K-Star to host the show.
Yeah, I think the problem is when you have someone like Big T, Commissioner T, sitting up here, they're sitting up here saying, do we really want K-Star? you may have to show them what you've got to get them to come and say, okay, let's get, because, you know, they get tired of, I mean, every week I eat your lunch, you know, every week. You know, and so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, my case starter host when he gets his lunch eaten by Commissioner T every week, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me just say, Tony Romo really helps eat my lunch this season. But nonetheless, like I said, happy to be here with you two fine, depressed fellow gentlemen watching other teams play in the playoffs. Although, I'm not really sure Train's depressed. He probably got over his situation pretty quickly, being in California.
Did I hear him? Did he already take a stab at jab at Tony Romo?
No.
Wait.
I did. I am shameless.
I was last week and up about Tony Romo, and within 90 seconds of being on the show, he takes a jab.
I'm going to a new level.
You need to. And you can start with getting the offensive coordinator that knows how to call plays. You think y'all can make that happen? You think you can make that happen?
I would love to make that. Hey, listen, I would love to make that happen in Pittsburgh. Todd Haley.
You argued me all year. It was about week 16, and then all of a sudden it was, I hate that shit. You were right. That's K-Star's favorite line. I hate to admit it.
Yeah, I know y'all got to hug and make up later, man. That's party, dude.
You know, whatever. My favorite line is whatever Tony Romo punchline there is. I like that one.
Put him on the Madden. We're gonna put this on the Madden Boys webpage. It's gonna be right under K-Star's name. I'm sorry. God, T, you were right. You're lying. T, you were right.
Woo! Oh, wow.
Anyway, let's start off with Lovie Smith. Let's talk about Lovie Smith. Man, Train, your boy's getting some love, man. I mean, the Eagles are going to talk to him. The Chargers are going to talk to him. I mean, you know, your boy is getting some love, man. Listen, I don't want him in the, I don't want him in Philly. You know, I don't want him there, man. He's a good coach. You know, can we send him out to San Diego and let him deal with Andy Reid and the bunch, man? Can we not have him come to Philly? We got enough problems in this division, man. You know?
Hey, man. I'm loving it. And like I said last week, it's something me and my cousin have been talking about. We both said we hope he goes somewhere and take a team all the way. Just so these folks in Chicago, these fans who did not understand how good of a coach he was, can realize how good of a coach he really is. He dropped the ball in one department, and it definitely cost him his job, and I understand. But sometimes people get it right the second time around. And if anybody can get it right the second time around, Lovie Smith will get it right the second time around. He will find someone to run the offensive side of the ball and be successful no matter where he goes. But understand, their defense, wherever he goes, the defense will be a top-10 defense.
Yeah, that's why I don't want him coming to Philly, man. I got enough problems in this division, man. I got RG3. Well, you know, we don't know about RG3, man. You know, we don't know. We don't know. The knee's looking a little ugly, so we'll see. But, you know, the NFC East is already tough enough, man. We don't need Lovie Smith coming out here, man. We just don't.
He's going to transform whatever team he goes to. Mind you, you know, I didn't realize how important turnovers were. And I, you know, one thing they had on his resume when he was the defensive coordinator at St. Louis before he came to Chicago was that, you know, St. Louis led the league in turnovers, you know, his last season there. And I was like, okay, that's nice. But how real is it? It's real enough that over the 9 seasons, there's one department that Lovie Smith has is number one in turnovers. The Bears have led the league in turnovers for the 9 seasons. The Bears at the top for the time that he was the head coach. He teaches and preaches that, and guarantee it will transform the players on the team to go after the ball. You're hearing about Tillman punching out the ball before Lovie Smith came along. Now, it's his own trademark. He made it his own, but to have the mentality to do it and turn it into your own, hey, that credit goes to Lovie Smith. And the same you see from the other players who go after the ball. Not only do they go after the ball and get the ball and force a turnover. They're trying to score with it. As if they're on offense now. Because they know if they score, they're going to go back out there on defense. They're trying to score with it. They don't care. They want to get into the end zone with the ball. I'm telling you, you don't want them in your division. I'm so glad nobody's firing head coaches in NFC North but us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, good luck to him. He's a good man. He's a good person. And good luck to him. You know, and I just
you sound like me from last week, Trent. You sound like you're doing a little 180 a little bit. Last week you were kind of on the fence, and now you're like.
No, 180 from last week. Maybe you should go back and listen to the man voice from last week. But,
you kept bringing out the fact that this man has made a playoff once in the last five seasons. And
yeah.
Now you're crowning him elsewhere. You're trying to crown the man elsewhere, which is fine.
No, okay. I need you to go back and listen to the man voice from last week for the little last hour that I was on there and listen to every single word that I said. And everything I said, I'm repeating the same week. Lovie Smith got fired for one thing, not getting the offensive side of the ball fixed. He's the head coach. Okay, he has to do that. And, yes, he missed the playoffs five times in the last six seasons. Come on, dude. Are you really going to keep him for that? That's just the nature of the job. Come on, first starter. That's the nature of the job. But that does not mean that this dude is not a good head coach. The defensive side of the ball, we were up there. Top 10. Almost every season he was there. I haven't changed my words or went back on anything. This is a different angle. We're talking about Lovie Smith moving on. We're not talking about why Lovie Smith got fired from Chicago.
Yeah, I don't. You know, sometimes I wonder what show K Star actually listens to because I heard it that way too. You were very.
Hold on, I just don't understand why you would automatically, because a coach who hasn't been successful lately in Chicago, why you would just wish him to be just the man in like Philadelphia or somewhere else. So like, that doesn't make any sense to me from a fan standpoint.
There have been some examples where coaches don't get it right the first time around. And the second time, like they're like coaching gods. And
I'm asking you as a fan why you wanted to personally see that. I'm asking you as a fan of the Chicago Bears why you want to see the coach in which your organization fired flourish elsewhere and do things you couldn't do in Chicago. I'm just interested in hearing why.
Say that again. Well, what's your question exactly?
I'm asking you as a Bears fan. Why you want to see Lovie Smith flourish and succeed and ultimately win a championship, it sounds like, elsewhere.
Because I did not want him to leave as our head coach. I understood the fire, but I didn't want us to lose Lovie. Because I saw what part of the ball we were successful on, but you're only going to get so many chances to fire your offensive coordinator. And he ran out of red tape on that. So, yes, I like him. I love him as a head coach. And I do hope he's successful somewhere else. So that all these unruly fans who don't know anything about NFL and head coaching, so they can eat crow. Be like, damn, I wish we had him. He'll get it right the second time around.
I'm just saying, it's not a little bit like what your friend was saying last week when he called in the show, saying that's always greener on the other side and all this, that, and the third. So I'm just...
Yeah, he's the same guy that still does not understand that you still have to be, you as a head coach, your team still has to be in contention. I mean, I don't know why it's so difficult for either you or Saint to get it. The firing, I understand, but he is still, he messed up on one thing, man.
No one's disputing what he messed up on. No one's saying that at all. I just find it, I'll just put it like this. If, for whatever reason, and hopefully that's never comes to this point, if for a reason Mike Tomlin was released from the Pittsburgh Steelers, being that the Steelers themselves made the decision to fire this man, I wouldn't hope he just succeeds and flourishes elsewhere and proves my team and organization wrong.
I mean, what's wrong with, I don't understand what's wrong with me saying that. Like, I don't have any dislike because he fell and getting the offensive side of the ball, right? That's just what his expertise. it wasn't his expertise, and he put the trust in whatever coordinator that he hired. And you only get so many times to fix that side of the ball. You only get so many chances to fire your offense. He fired for three offensive coordinators, dude. You're only going to get so many chances.
That's not what we're just talking about. I mean, I don't care about that. I'm just saying, as a fan, I'm just not really sure why you kind of hope that he gets it right elsewhere when he couldn't get it right ultimately in Chicago.
Because I like him as a head coach. That's why. I don't understand why that's difficult to like a person as a head coach. I'm a fan of football. You also know that, right? So, yeah,
do what?
I'm a basketball, but I am also a fan of football. And because I'm a fan of football, I just don't hate people. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I hate him. I'm just saying that, listen. I'm just saying, listen, that if my team, if my franchise, the team which I root for, said that this man isn't good enough to lead his team to a championship, and my team and franchise ultimately got it wrong, it really wouldn't sit well with me as a fan, is all what I'm saying. So I was just asking you, from your perspective, why you feel the way you do.
That is me with different kind of fans, man. Like I said, I'm a fan of the Bears. But I'm ultimately a fan of the NFL. And there are coaches and players I like across the NFL. And, yes, my team fired Lovie Smith, and, yes, I hope he does well when he goes to another team. I hope he stays away from the NFC North.
Well, there we go. Now we're making progress. That's good.
before I comment.
Tell him to hang up and call back in so he can make sure you hear me.
Who's that now?
Where did he go?
You talking about Saints trying to get on? Train, are you there?
I know. I asked him if he's listening. I said that already.
Yeah, you're fuzzy. You're not completely clear.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Yeah. Train.
Can you hear me now, or do I need to call back in?
You sound better right now.
Okay.
Not angry right now, is what you sound.
Angry is fine. Let me just real quick before I comment and then bring Sane on. Breaking news: the Cowboys are parting ways with defensive coordinator Rob Ryan. I am stunned.
Wow!
Absolutely, positively
stunned
at that news.
They got me crying?
NFL Network. Rob Ryan is gone. I am completely stunned by that one.
I didn't see that coming.
1 year, dude? Are you serious?
I am not. It's right. NFL Network right now. I usually have it on for this very reason while we're live, in this very reason. And I am stunned. I am completely stunned. I don't get this one at all, because this guy made more with less.
It was a mass unit.
It really was.
He made more progress. I understand that the unit was, like, up and down, but some of it had to do with execution and injuries more than it had to do with...
No, a lot of it had to do with injuries. They played well early in the season when they were healthy.
Yeah, I don't... This one, I know Jerry Jones is... has said that they would be, you know, people would be uncomfortable and there would be changes, but I didn't see this one coming at all. Now, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be something internal. I'm sorry, I'm speechless, because I would have never called this one. I figured the worst case scenario is if they had a good season, he might be gone to go be a head coach somewhere, but not you know, being fired, or as they say, parting ways. All right, let's bring Sane in. Before we bring your boy Sane in, let me just say that I will have to say that on the last item, I'm kind of more on K-Star's camp. I my loyalties are limited, and if you're not helping my team get there, then I don't know how much loyalty I have for you once you're not with the Cowboy organization. I can understand to a point what Train is saying. But, you know, the more success another team has, it could be taking it from my team. And I can't have that. I can't have any, especially, you know, we're talking Lovie Smith maybe going to Eagles. Yeah, no, that's okay. And so I've historically never been a guy to really root for players or coaches once they leave the Cowboys. I mean, Emmitt Smith, one of the greatest running backs of all time, went to Arizona, and I think I may have watched one game. I didn't care. I mean, you know, he didn't have the start of something anymore.
I figured you would kind of get me, because there's one player who you like no matter where he went to, especially after he came to Dallas and left, and that was T.O. You always wanted to see T.O. have a successful season wherever he went. Afterwards, because that's your favorite player.
I thought T.O. was treated unfairly, and I really wanted to see him do well, because I thought that he was really given a raw deal, and to this day has been given a raw deal in the NFL. And it bugged me that he was given a raw deal. And this is over multiple seasons in the NFL, and I didn't like it. And so, yes, that is a good point. That is the exception to my rule. Deion was another one, though, I got to admit. I always liked Deion, and I always wanted to see Deion do well. And so when Deion left and, retired and he came back, went to the Ravens. I mean, there are individual players that I kind of would like. But as norm, no. There are exceptions, though. There are exceptions.
Well, I mean, I haven't said this about anybody else that had left Chicago, but, you know, just to hit home with it real quick, you know, this is an African-American head coach. I always love to see the African-American head coaches do well. He was my head coach, coaching my favorite team. You know, I was excited for what he did with the team. I didn't want to see him leave, but I understood it. And I would like to see him continue to be successful just on that alone.
Different angle that I can relate to. And I didn't hear that when you were saying it the first time. And certainly that I can relate to that angle, especially the history of African-American head coaches in the NFL. So on that level, yes, I would support you on that level. Yes, absolutely.
Boom, sold, I guess.
I hope you love, by the way, let me tell you, I hope you love African-American coaches so much, Train, that when you guys, and if you guys, hire Mike Singletary, who was interviewed today, I hope you are just as thrilled as you are about Lovie Smith's prospects elsewhere, just as a FYI, because I heard today from a Bears fan that you guys were indeed interviewing Mike Singletary, which blew my mind, which didn't make any sense to me, being that I would figure you guys would be trying to hire an offensive guy, considering you'd fire a defensive guy, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's why I told you to go check out Phil Emery's press conference, man, because he said he's not limited. He's not limited to offense or defense. He's limited to a leader. He wants a leader of men. And that's what he wants, a leader of men. You can get a leader of men, then you can get the right OC. You can get the right DC. But you still need a leader at the end of the day.
Well, and you also have to remember, and Train would know this much more than I would, you know, Mike Singletary is Bears royalty, you know, and so, you know, we're talking, I'm sorry, I just made a boo-boo over here. So, I mean, and let's be clear. First of all, he's Bears royalty, okay? Second of all, Mike Singletary was not a bad coach. He just didn't fit with what the 49ers needed. Okay, let's be clear. He didn't fit. But, you know, I think with the right team, hey, I think he'd be a hell of a coach. He's an old school guy, you know, and that was a team of young bucks, and they were progressive, and he was old school, and it just wasn't the right fit. So they went and got a younger coach, a little more hip, and it's working out good for them. So we'll see, but I mean, he's Bears royalty, you know. So we'll see. But anyway, let's bring Sane in, because he always complains. He sits there, presses the one, and we don't get him on the air. So let's bring Sane on. This is Train's boy Saint. Welcome to the Madden Boys.
Man, thank you for finally letting me on, T. I appreciate that. Finally, been sitting here for 10 minutes.
I'm
quit complaining. Man, first of all, I'm glad I just called in. I heard y'all talking about Lovie Smith again. Hey, man, the man, I just don't believe they should have let him go so quickly. Took him to the Super Bowl. I mean, he took a team that wasn't really doing anything, and I don't believe any other coach I don't see anybody else taking that team to the Super Bowl like that. I think he did a heck of a job while he was there, and I think if they fired your boy in Dallas, let them bring him in and see what they do then. He would be a heck of a pickup. I know he wants to be a head coach somewhere, but boy, if they could get him, throw the dump truck at him, they would be beastly on defense. I don't think nobody else could do, and there might be somebody, but you know what he could do as far as defense. You know what he could do with a team. He could take them to the chip if you give them the right players. They stay healthy. And, man, why would you get rid of somebody like that? If you go interview Michael Singletary, come on, man. We saw what he could do. I just hate the whole thing. I think they should have kept him, stayed with him.
Let me just say this. I feel like I'm always teaching lessons, okay? Pete Carroll coached New England Patriots, and he was horrible.
Yeah.
He went back to college, won some championships, okay? Comes back to the NFL with the Seahawks, doing a pretty good job, ain't he? I mean, sometimes
he's doing a heck of a job.
Okay, Bill Belichick coached the Browns. He was horrible.
Horrible.
Stint at the Jets. Didn't stay long. Been with the Patriots 12 years. Legendary now, right? Sometimes you just need that right fit to get going. And I think that Mike Singletary with the Bears, knowing that organization, and Train knows, I would defer to Train. If Train says I'm wrong, then I'm not going to sit here and be a Bears, you know, expert, because I'm not. But I've been watching football a long time. I watched 85 Bears. I watched Mike Singletary play the game. I watched him coach the 49ers. I had a feeling it wasn't going to work out because he comes from the Ditka line of coaching, old school, you know, all that good stuff. And I think that's what the Bear, I mean, Lovie Smith's old school coach, you know? And, you know, he had some success early on and then, you know, maybe not as much down the stretch. But I think Singletary could be a good coach for the Bears. Train, what do you think? Because that's your team. What do you think?
I don't disagree with what you're saying. And, you know, the McCaskey family, they know him. He knows what the Bears are all about. And, you know, the players wouldn't reject his style of coaching whatsoever. My only thing is that it will be another situation where Singletary would definitely have to find the right man for the offensive side of the ball. You know, but I do feel like he's a good leader of men. I do feel like he can put the fire, you know what I'm saying, under the guys in order to get them to perform and then do their best on the field. So,
but Trey, you wouldn't feel like that would be a downgrade from what y'all just fired?
Why would I consider it a downgrade?
He's not a proven commodity as a head coach. I can start with that. He was absolute travesty in San Francisco. The fact that as soon as he left San Francisco, a whole head coach from college came in and took that team to the AFC Championship game, clearly indicating
that he
achieved as a head coach. I mean, listen, you compare Bill Belichick, look at those other situations, but no one just came in immediately after and cleaned up the mess that was left there either. So,
Thank you.
The problem with both of you is you think that you can take a square peg and put it in a round hole, no matter what. And that's not the case. Sometimes coaches, players, systems, everything has to fit. If it doesn't fit, it won't work. Sometimes players reject.
No, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes coaches just can't get the job done. They can't take. They can't better a team. And we saw your boy, he bettered their team. He made them better. He was the coach that took him to the ship.
So what happens if New England Patriots don't take that chance on Bill Belichick after they saw what he had done with the other two teams?
Two different situations. I'm saying, if Tom Brady didn't show up, Bill Belichick wouldn't be who he is right now.
And who found Tom Brady, number one, and who made the decision to put him in the game?
No, Bledsoe got hurt.
Okay.
He got hurt, and Tom Brady won ball games.
You know where Tom Brady was drafted.
I believe it was the seventh round.
Sixth round out of Michigan.
What I'm saying is, if that didn't happen, Tom Brady and him, if they didn't collab like that, under somebody getting hurt.
Somebody had to find Tom Brady first, though, right?
Say that again.
Did you, hold on. Here's the big difference. You guys remember something.
And
we're not a Hall of Fame coach here to Mike Singletary as a coach. I mean, again, quite the leap of faith, A. And B, again, the thing is, when Bill Belichick left, when was fired from Cleveland, they didn't immediately have success like San Francisco did upon the firing of Mike Singletary, because the pieces were in place with San Francisco, just the job wasn't done because he couldn't coach an offense at all. Well, Alex Smith flourished under Jim Harbaugh. So you're at square one.
Hey, start
square one again.
You really need to revisit reality. It's not that he couldn't coach an offense. It was his style didn't register with the players. All the same parts are there, were there under Singletary, are there under Harbaugh. But they didn't fight, they couldn't fight. He couldn't lead them because of his style.
So he couldn't coach them.
The problem was because he had an old school style that didn't fit with that team. To say he could never coach another team is ridiculous. It was 2 years with one team that didn't work. So that's it. We've never seen
regardless if he can or if he can't, regardless if he can, we don't know. We saw what he did. But we know he took a team to the championship. And like I said, where you look back at the team, where are the stars at? I mean, where are the real stars at on that team?
We knew that every team would damn near be in contention for the playoffs. We have a bunch of 8-8 records, man. I mean, you don't know, so you can't have a damn crystal ball in front of you and be like, "That's the coach." Because the crystal ball says so. Come on, dude. Everybody deserves a chance, and if you get an interview and you say the right things and you have your plans laid out and they believe that you're the leader, then you're chosen and you have your shot. You make the best of your shit. So just to sit here and say, this girl not going to be a good coach with this team because he messed up with that team, that's ridiculous. That's almost like saying, don't give this guy a job because he couldn't do the last one well. You know, he won't do it with us. Come on, let me say, everybody needs a chance.
All we can do, listen, here's the thing. All what we're saying is we knew what Lovie Smith was, and that was a pretty good football coach and a head coach with a proven track record. All we've seen thus far without speculating too heavily on it is what Mike Singletary did not accomplish with a very talented team, predicted to win the NFC West both years he was there in San Francisco, but disappointed. And then we saw what happened when he left with that same talent.
Monday morning quarterbacking is looking now at what Jim Harbaugh did. We didn't have that when Belichick
left. Why can't we go off that?
Can I finish? Thank you. Belichick left Cleveland with no track record, with no pedigree as a head coach, and takes over the Patriots. And if the Patriots had not given this guy with no track record and no pedigree a shot, where would they be today? And you can't just say, oh, it's Tom Brady. Belichick made the decision to keep Brady as the starter. Not every coach does that just because a guy goes in and wins a few games. Every coach doesn't do that. Belichick did that. And Belichick drafted Brady. So all I'm saying is Belichick failed, and he went in and was successful. So let's not think that Singletary, who failed, can't go with another team, particular team and an organization that he's got history with, and be successful. That's all I'm saying is he can be. To say because he failed over there means don't give him another chance, he can never be successful. It's ridiculous.
Give him another chance. Give him a chance with the Cleveland Browns or somebody. When Belichick went to the Patriots, they was just a great team.
No, get out of here. Absolutely not.
Come on.
They were not a great anything.
I disagree with that entirely. But wait. Here's the key point that you guys are failing to realize, again, is that when Bill Belichick left the Browns didn't just flourish. When the Mike Singletary left the Niners with that collection of talent, they immediately flourished under different coaching staff. That's all I'm trying to say.
Last I check, and I'm quoting my friend, I speak good, clear English. The point
is, you don't understand.
Failure of coaching. Both coaches failed. Now we have the benefit of knowing that Harbaugh is a very good coach and went in there and took a team and has been successful. But at the time he was hired, nobody knew that. All we know is that Singletary failed. That's all we knew, okay? All I'm saying is Singletary failed, and now he's worthy of another chance. Belichick failed, and he got another chance. That's all I'm saying. We don't know what Singletary's going to do in Chicago should he get hired, nor did we know what Belichick would do in New England if he got hired. We don't know. Coaches do go to other teams and have success.
But no one's saying they don't. We're looking at the aftermath with the roster we're talking again. He was so bad in San Francisco that another guy came in there that was great. That didn't happen with Bill Belichick in Cleveland. He left.
I just can't even imagine. So are we saying that Singletary was that bad? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Because,
yes.
So, oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
So Harbaugh gets no credit then, right?
Harbaugh was very good because he cleaned up his mess.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say Singletary was horrible, so then it wasn't Harbaugh who went in there and did anything, right? I mean, what is it then?
No, it's that Harbaugh is good and Singletary is bad. It's pretty simple. Look at the records. Was under both of them.
So, but you just say
bad coach, bad record, good coach, good record, same team.
See, you're trying to have it both ways. You just said, well, it was a talented team that was picked to win the division both years in a row, and Singletary was horrible. But now you're saying, well, Harbaugh was a good coach. Well, what about the team, the players? Did they get any credit?
Yeah, that's what a good coach does.
You get the most out of your
players. Good players play good.
And Singletary's style, I mean, was Tom Landry a bad coach? 29 years?
All I'm saying, you're missing the point. All I'm saying is why roll the dice for when you don't have to? You don't have to roll the dice.
And you're saying,
you know,
you're saying it's a roll of the dice, and I'm saying that Mike Singletary has earned a chance.
You're saying it too.
I'm saying Mike Singletary has earned the chance to be a head coach in his NFL again. He tried.
I agree with you on that. Listen to some play that stinks.
It's no more a roll of the dice. And bringing in Bill Cowher or any of these guys have been sitting on the sideline for the last 3 or 4 years. We saw Jimmy Johnson have all kinds of success in Dallas. He goes to Miami and gets one playoff appearance and does nothing. And he has 2 Super Bowls. It's always a roll of the dice. It's always a gamble. And if Chicago's going to gamble, why can't you gamble on a guy that the organization knows? Crane, speak up here, man. It's your team.
Oh, dude, I'm constantly like saying the same thing over and over again. That's why I'm kind of just like listening now because I don't think they get it. Honestly, I just don't think you guys get it. I think you guys put too much premium on how unsuccessful a person was with a previous team than the fact that they could possibly be very successful with the next team. And to say why take a roll of the dice, I mean, he couldn't finish his statement, but basically Singletary deserved the right to be interviewed as a head coach.
I mean,
what has Singletary done lately? I must have missed it. Was he a coordinator somewhere? What's he been doing?
With your logic, Andy Reid shouldn't be on a team now either then because he hasn't done anything in the last few years. He's had talent and done nothing. So with that
logic. No, but look where he's going. That's what I'm saying. Look where Andy Reid's going. He's not going to a team that just went 10-6. That was almost in the playoffs.
I don't know why he went to Kansas City because he went there very fast. So there's got to be something to it. He interviewed
him. Just the same type of power he had with the Eagles, it's the same type of power he's going to have with Kansas City. He is the GM and the head coach.
There you go.
It don't matter. What I'm saying is, why do you have to make any changes, especially going to a coach when at his last head job, he did really bad with good players, with solid good players. Why bring him in when you had a coach who just had a winning season? The only reason why he didn't make it to the playoffs was a few injuries, maybe. I mean, if Cutler don't get hurt, maybe they're in the playoffs. I mean,
Let us know.
Let me hear you, bro. What did you say?
Train, what did you say?
I said he didn't. They didn't make the playoffs because they did not win enough games. And at the end of the day, you look at the total body of work. And his total body of work is not just this season alone. His total body of work is all nine seasons. And in all nine seasons, he has three playoff appearances, two NFC Championship appearances, one Super Bowl appearance. We all know the NFL is what have you done for me lately? And lately, it's one playoff appearance in the past six seasons.
I got one question for you, Buck, though. Do you think every coach, I mean, there's some coaches that just cannot get the job. They're not taking that team championship. And I believe since you got a coach that can at least you know he can take a good, solid team with a good, solid defense to the ship, he can take them there. Man, just stay with your man for a minute.
They don't win the league. Okay, so it's not just the defense alone. Chicago's offense, the year we went to the Super Bowl, was ranked in the top half of the league. It hasn't been back there since. So no matter how good that defense is going to be, we're never going to get it back there if the offensive side of the ball doesn't get fixed. And in six seasons, it has not been fixed.
And say, the one thing you keep forgetting, you keep looking at the record, but they play in a division with Minnesota and Green Bay and even a Detroit team that can win on any given week. And so
right. You
can't just look at 10-6 and say it was a winning record. They didn't make the playoffs. And in that division, 10-6 ain't enough. That's what you're faced with. That's the dice that you're rolling.
No, I'm saying in that division, 10-6 is pretty good.
But if you don't make the playoffs, it's no better than 4-12. What difference does it make? And he was fired as a head coach. He was fired. You can't just because it meets your individual standards of a over 500 record, you're labeling him as a good coach. He was fired because he didn't get this team to the playoffs.
And I'm saying his firing, which I believe you agree with, wasn't a fair shake.
I didn't agree with it. I understood it because this team started off 7-1. You know?
That Saints failed to realize 7-1, that's a collapse. That's a major collapse.
That is
to miss the playoffs.
It really is. I mean, we had this team power rankings as one of the best teams in the NFL at one point, and now they don't even make the playoffs. You know, at some point after six seasons of this and only one playoff appearance, management said we've had enough. And I said I can't question it. I wouldn't have done it if I'm a GM, but I'm not a GM. I would have said, let's roll with him one more year, like the Jets are saying with Rex Ryan. I think he should have been fired, but they're giving him one more year, and he was 8-8 this year. But they're giving him another year. I mean, it's a funny business that they're in, and it's a lot to switch head coaches in the NFL. And I guess they said, you know what, we've had enough. We need to go in a new direction, and that's what they're doing in Chicago. So, you know, when you don't.
We're going to talk about this next year, but I'm just saying the grass is not always greener on the other side. The same thing because we wasn't a 10-6 team, but the same, almost the same thing happened here in Nashville. Fisher took the Titans to the championship. I knew if he had the players, he can do well with it. And I believe he overachieved with the players he had a lot of times, going 8-8.
He's 13 years with your team. I mean, he was a lot. You know, at some point, Saint, at some point, you have to say, it's time. It's time. It's time to look at the college coaches. It's time to look at assistant coaches. It's time to say, we need new leadership here. At some point.
Well, we looked at Mike Munchak, and it's about time to let him go because we're getting drilled. It's like a scoring clinic on us every game. I'm just saying, you do not
want
to see that happen to your franchise.
You're frustrated.
We saw the Bengals had a chance to fire Marvin Lewis. They haven't. That paid off kind of decently for them. And, again, the Steelers with Bill Cowher took them 13 seasons. He ended up winning Super Bowl 13th.
And retired. Whittle, man. They stuck Whittle. So they got a job done.
And sometimes sticking with the coach works, and sometimes it doesn't. And it's a judgment call, and sometimes you make the decision based on who you think is going to be available, who you think might be out there that you can get. And I think the Bears, they had enough. They said it's time to go in another direction. They have a lot of talent. This was their year to produce, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
I mean, the other thing you also have to consider is that we're under a new GM. we're not under the old GM. We're under a new GM. And because we have a new GM, you know, you don't have a lot of strength. And, you know, if Will Emery felt that this team was a playoff team, period. He felt that this team should be in the playoffs. And if Lovie Smith doesn't get it done, then it's on him. Now, yeah, he could give him a second year, but then that's also on Phil Emery now. Now it's really on him. 1 year, okay. Second year, now it's really on Phil Emery. You know, so I understand it. Now, I'm not saying I would have loved for Lovie Smith to remain our head coach and let's just fix the offensive side of the ball, but it's not the case, and I understand the firing.
And the other thing is, we don't know the conversations that go on behind closed doors.
That's true.
The last season, off season, we don't know what's being talked about. We know that Jeffrey Lurie came out publicly and pretty much said, if the Eagles don't make the playoffs, Andy Reid's fired. He pretty much put it out there. And guess what? The Eagles didn't make the playoffs, and Andy Reid got fired. So we don't know if Lovie Smith was given, you know, like, was this his last year to get it done? Did they say, you need to get it done this year, or we're going to have to part ways? We don't know that stuff because most of the teams keep that private. So, anyway, anything else for us?
Well, I just know they stuck before he got there. They stuck before he got there. He changed the organization around.
Hey, listen, I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't care about any other team but the Cowboys. But I think Singletary will be a good coach. And I think if they hire him, and I don't know that they will, he was linebackers. K-Star asked, he was linebackers coach for the Vikings. That was his last job. Most recent job, linebackers coach for the Vikings. So I don't know if they're going to hire him, but I think he'll be a good coach. So
I would root for him. I like him. I want to see him succeed. I like him as a person, but
just
in Chicago, awesome. I think that would be a very big disappointment to my friend Train, and I just don't want to see him sad every Sunday like that.
Well, I do, so they can hire him for entertainment purposes.
Misery loves company, though, man. I mean, clearly, you know, you could use some company there, Saint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would enjoy the company because we're getting drilled.
I think a lot of
y'all take it easy, man. I got to click over, man. My wife.
All right, talk to you.
All right.
I think a lot of his frustration is the fact that nothing's being done to his team. you know, his team is a picture. Yeah, his team is a picture of mediocrity, and we don't really hear about. They're not in the news. Nothing's really going on down there, and I think that's his frustration. He's focusing on that instead of worrying about the Bears, because I mean the Bears are making moves. They're trying to improve. You know, the Steelers are making moves. You know, hopefully get rid of Haley. That'd be great for them. You know, the Cowboys, man, I don't know what they're doing. To be honest with you, man. I'm not liking this Rob Ryan firing, man. I'm not liking it right now. But I guess we'll find out. I got to check out my inside sources and down there in Dallas and find out what happened. All right. So Andy Reid goes to the Chiefs, and Train answered my question. I didn't know they made him a GM too. So good for him. Doug Marrone is not a head coach of the Bills. Now this is a guy I didn't know anything about. So I had to actually go look him up, and apparently he was a Syracuse head coach. And before that, he worked under Sean Payton for the Saints. That was one of his jobs. And I think, let me see. Let's see. Hold on here. I have it here. Come on, iPad. Let's see. Syracuse head coach. They were kind of up and down, but, you know, he left the team better than he found them. And let's see, I'm trying to see what he did with the Saints, what his position was, but he definitely worked under Sean Payton, and Sean Payton actually speaks very highly of him, but this quick article I found doesn't specifically say what he did. You know, I hate when it does that. So, you know, I don't know, and, you know, to me, you know, I guess I bring Marrone up to say, here's a guy that's fairly unknown going to the Bills. And, you know, and I wish Saint was kind of on the phone, because I'd say, you know, would you rather hire this guy or Mike Singletary? You know, I'd bring Mike Singletary in all day, you know, proven.
Well, one thing I know about this guy is he was coach at Syracuse, pretty good
offense.
Yeah, basically what you're saying. They had a pretty good offense, and an offensive guy. That's all we really have established with him. Yeah. Apparently has some NFL ties as well. But,
yeah. Well, be interesting. It'd be interesting.
They just got to get the ball with T.J. Spiller there. That's their franchise. That's one talented player that they have that they should absolutely feature. They need to stop this Fred Jackson nonsense. They really do. They just got to get this guy the ball. He'd average over 6 yards per carry this season. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know what happens. I mean, you know, everyone's not Adrian Peterson. So, I mean, everyone can't carry the ball 350 times. And, I have something going on here. Yeah, everyone can carry about 350 times, so you gotta have a good backup. You have to, you know. There's no doubt about it. Trent, you know, on the subject of the Bears, maybe take a minute and talk about, you know, who would you like? I mean, if you think about coaches that are available. There's a litany of assistants that the Bears are considering. Do you have any thoughts on who the Bears, you know, who would you like as a Bears fan to be your head coach?
Man, in my perfect world of picking a Bears head coach, I would definitely like for them to grab somebody with an offensive mind, with the intention of maybe retaining Rod Marinelli as a defensive coordinator, because you know, I've seen the defense when Lovie Smith has had different coordinators, and even when he decided to be coordinator himself 1 year, and this year I saw Rod Marinelli's stamp on the defense versus the previous year. So I think, you know, if we brought in, like, Denver's offensive coordinator, I would love, you know, I would love to see that guy. You know, he took Tim Tebow and transformed the offense that was good enough to allow them to have one playoff appearance and even a playoff win against the Steelers out of all teams, man. You know, no one expected them to go to win that game at all. I mean, you spoke highly of the guy, the special teams coach for Dallas. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about him, but shoot, I kind of take your word for on that. You know, they you know, just someone with an offensive mind and maybe with the you know, with the plans to probably keep at least Rod Marinelli around and maybe Dave Toome around. You know, so that our defense and special teams still exactly the same, but we just need someone to get that offensive side of the ball going.
If you could dream. You know, if you could dream, is there someone, you know, even forget candidates just in general, if you could dream? Now, no Lovie Smith, but anybody out there, even current coaches with other teams, except Lovie Smith, who dream coach?
Man, dream coach? Sean Payton. Dude, the Saints offense is fun to watch. You know, and considering the personnel that we have on offense, Sean Payton with Rod Marinelli running the defense. I take that.
Okay. All right. We can roll with that. We can roll with that. All right. Let's talk about quickly, I'm going to go to K-Star. Your thoughts on the Redskins going down to the Seahawks, Wilson versus RG3, and that game is actually being rebroadcast on NFL Network right now. But what are your thoughts on that game? What are your thoughts on Wilson versus RG3? And the big question of the week has been, should RG3 have been pulled first or earlier? Let's go to K-Star first, and then Train can jump in.
I think you had to play him, considering that in week 17, he played on a gip ankle, or a leg rather, and still had a relatively successful game against the Cowboys, leading them there to the NFC playoffs. And honestly, he deserved it. I mean, he's a guy that helped turn this team around, turn this franchise around this season. And if anything else, we've seen him as a decoy in a running game still be a threat. Now, how hurt was he? I mean, that's a little. Well, RG3 said to the coach, we really don't know, but all indications were that he could play. And if that's what was cleared and that's what RG3 had said, I don't know how you bench him in that situation, how you can justify benching your best player when he still, again, led to you before while hurt.
Okay. Train, any thoughts?
Well, I'd like to say I was saddened by the games this weekend, some parts. But, man, I hate to see RG3 couldn't finish that game. But, I mean, the guy was clearly injured. I mean, once his mobility is completely gone, there's nothing you can do. And I think I saw the one run play where he was actually limping while running. And, you know, he got a few yards out of it because he had, you know, massive blockers in front of him. No one got a chance to touch him. But I think once I saw that, I was like, just take him out because he's going to be ineffective. And lo and behold, he was ineffective. I mean, he had been ineffective once he re-injured his leg earlier in the game after they got the 14-point lead, but... It just kind of sucks from a football standpoint because you wanted to see RG3 versus Russell Wilson, and you couldn't, and you didn't get a chance to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conversation on whether RG3 should have been pulled earlier is ridiculous. You know, you have doctors on the sideline, you have trainers, you have the coach, you have the player, and RG3 is a warrior. You know, he's going to stay in as long as he can, and you know, this is the playoffs. You know what I mean? And you know, I mean, I'm not worried about next season. I'm worried about trying to win this game, and you win with your top players. And he plays until he can't play anymore. I mean, I think that's what football's all about. You know, you went in with an injury. You toughed it out as long as you could. And when you can't go, you can't go. But, you know, for the coach to just – for someone to have thought that Shanahan should have just yanked him, and RG3 still trying. He's still out there trying to get it done, and he's the guy that got him there. I mean, he has turned this franchise around. You got to go with your money. You know, this is playoffs. This is it. This is no tomorrow. So I just think Shanahan's getting a bad rap on that one. You know, that said, I mean, you know, they're talking about a partially torn LCL, partially torn ACL. You know, they even had James Andrews on the sideline. I ain't never seen James Andrews on the sideline of a pro football game like that. You know, I think they kind of knew they were messing with borrowed time to have him there on the sideline like that. But, you know, that guy's a magician. He's a miracle worker. And whatever it is, we've seen Adrian Peterson back full strength. You know, I'm fairly certain, and RG3's already had one injury like this a few years ago. He'll be back full strength, you know, at some point. But I don't think there was any problem with the decision. I mean, I do think Wilson, you know, like I said last week before, we were wrong. The dude's the truth. You know, the Redskins defense was pretty good. They're pretty aggressive. They've really improved over the last several weeks. But you know, I mean, it would have been interesting, 100% RG3, how that game would have turned out. I think, you know, watching these guys go back and forth, you know, read option versus read option, and even though I think the Redskins use it more, but it would have been interesting. But, you know, he's hurt, and it is what it is. But I do also want to make one note to Mr. K-Star. Do you like Herm Edwards, K-Star?
Do I like him? Yeah, he's entertaining.
Yeah, do you respect him?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He was on today and said that the defenses will study and adapt to the read option next year. And so the Redskins need to come up with something else, you know, for several reasons. Well, that's one reason. The other reason, he felt like, you know, RG3 is taking too many hits and he'll have a 4 or 5 season career if he keeps taking this many hits. But he also clearly said, and he is a defensive guy. You know, he played defense and, you know, was a defensive coach before he became a head coach. So I just thought, you know, since you like to quote coaches and throw back at me, I thought I'd throw one back at you that we all like and respect. Because last week you were saying, oh, no, read options. And I'm saying, no, defenses are going to learn and they're going to adapt. And it's not going to be like it was. It's going to be a tool. It's not going to be the mainstay. And he came out and pretty much said the same thing. I thought I'd share that with you. That's right. That's how I roll. Yeah. Train, talk about the Packers and the Minnesota. That's your division. We found out the day of the game that Christian Ponder was not going to play. Joe Webb went in there to play. And word is Ponder will be the starter next year. So Webb apparently has not done enough to take that job. But, you know, these are teams that you know very well. What were your thoughts on this game?
First of all, I was tripping out on Chris Collinsworth talking about Webb like he was some kind of X factor for the game. This dude ain't thrown a pass all season long. That's the reason why he's second string quarterback. If they had another quarterback to be second string, he wouldn't even be second string. Okay. Secondly, I'm pissed off with Green Bay actually showing up. You could have did this last week. Before last. We would have really greatly appreciated it. Lovie Smith probably would still be head coach. And we would have been watching San Francisco versus Bears that night, not Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's okay. I digress. Other than that said, the game turned out exactly what I expected. The Green Bay ripped the shit out of Minnesota in Green Bay. And definitely, I still don't think Minnesota would have won the game, but Christian Ponder would have made somewhat of a difference. He is definitely the better quarterback. They would have been able to pass the ball a little bit.
At least the threat of a pass. Joe Webb, I believe, had 34% completion percentage that game. That's pretty bad, needless to say. Christian Ponder, quite a bit of an upgrade there. I was disappointed not seeing him play. To me, this kind of floored me. I didn't expect him not to play. It seemed like maybe I was under a rock the whole week, but Saturday, the day of the game, that was the first time I'd heard of him not or having possibly not playing. So that was disappointing me because you always want to see, you know, the starting quarterbacks play in a playoff game, obviously. So I thought that kind of cheapened the game a little bit.
I would have liked to have seen it if Joe Webb had a full week with first team. I think the guy's got a lot of potential. In this day and age of, you know, quarterbacks and mobility being such a factor, and the ability to use the read option as a tool, I think, I'm not saying every quarterback needs that, but I think this guy's got a job somewhere out there, you know, I really do. But you know, when you find out the day of that you're going to be starting. And you had, and I think he's the first quarterback to not have thrown a pass all season or something to that effect, or not have completed a pass or something, and then start a playoff game. I mean, it was some very interesting fact. And, honestly, let's be real. Would it really have made that big of a difference? I don't think
so. No.
I don't think so. I think that Packers, we're going to take them out. And that's really it. So I don't think it would have made much of a difference. But, you know, it's interesting to talk about. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? Let's go back to K-Star. K-Star's favorite team, the Ravens. Mr. Ray Lewis, said it. You know, I mean, the guy played, hadn't played since October. And he looked good. What were your thoughts on either one, the impact of Ray Lewis, or two, the lack of luck, because luck didn't do nothing this game. What were your thoughts, K-Star?
It was more about the return of Ray Lewis, and right before the game when you kind of saw him dancing and coming on the field, I was with a bunch of Colts fans live here, and I was like, man, this game could be a blowout, just because you kind of could kind of feel the atmosphere a little bit with Ray Lewis going nuts and being that big moment in his career where, you know, it was possible last game at least at home. To me, it's more about the Ravens being healthy and more about the Ravens fighting one more day for Ray Lewis. And Colts, unfortunately for them, decided to have their, Bruce Arians also get sick and go to the hospital, which really just unfortunate the day of. Again, didn't see that one coming as well either. To me, it's not the Ravens just having, again, one more fight for Ray, having some guys back healthy, which they didn't have for a while. You know, Ray Lewis, not Terrell Suggs, all on the football field at the same time.
I wasn't surprised. Ravens more experienced football team. I had picked them to win, so.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, to be honest with you, we can say, yeah, one more fight for Ray and all that. But, I mean, the Colts had a nice run, you know. They had a nice run. And I think this is one of those rare cases where you have to say they really don't have anything to be ashamed of, the Colts. You know, they went as far as they could with a 2-14 team with, you know, a new franchise quarterback. And, you know, there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of promise there for this team. And there's nothing for them to be ashamed of. There really isn't anything for them to hang their heads about or you know, feel bad about. You know, I mean, you know, to have to go up again. I mean, it was just like, I believe it was the Packers or whoever team it was during the season who had to go up against, you know, when they found out that Pagano had leukemia. And yeah, and so, I mean, sometimes – you know, you're going up against a juggernaut with a bigger reason to win than you, and that's really kind of what happened. But I didn't give the Colts much chance, and luck was made to look human playing against this defense that looked really good. But we're gonna talk about the division around games because, you know, some of these teams that played really well are now coming up against some pretty good teams this week. Hey, Train, any thoughts on that game before we go to the last game?
I did on everything you said about the Colts. I think the Colts 100% a successful season, a complete turnaround, and also with a win against Houston in the process. I think that win was huge at the end of the season. Okay, well, anyway, I said that game, Houston had something to play for in that game, and Houston really needed that game, you know what I'm saying, to secure the top seed, and they didn't get it. And I think that was a huge win for the Colts. All of all, a successful season. But let me just say, as an NFL fan, you know, the Ravens may not play another whole game, another home game in this playoff run. But they, you know, let me just say, I was just happy I got a chance to see Ray Lewis make his last entrance through the tunnel. Let me just say, I was happy I got a chance to see that because I almost missed it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't care about that. It was nice. It was a football. You know, I mean, I don't care. You know, I mean, really. Big deal.
It was dancing to Nelly. Wait. Who was that, by the way? Oh, he's dancing to Nelly. Of all songs it takes, it's like Hot in Here by Nelly. What the hell was that?
I enjoyed every last shit out of it.
And I was just like, what the fuck? What is that?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't. I really don't. I am. I'm a party pooper. I don't care. It wasn't the Cowboys, so I care. You know. Yeah. Then he had to go out on the last play and do his dance one last time and all of that and whatever. It is what it is. So, all right, K-Star, talk to us last game. Talk to us about the Bengals losing to the Texans. Texans, I got to admit, surprised me with their defense, although the Bengals blew some opportunities. But the Texans' defense looks pretty good. And Wade will give you one every once in a while, you know, to show you that he can coach a defense. But what were your thoughts on that game?
Well, for a while, I was better watching the game because I felt like Pittsburgh should have been in there. But, you know, I digress. Andy Dalton, from what I've seen this season, really struggled against man coverage. And it really wasn't a surprise for me to see, being that, you know, Houston's primarily man coverage team, you know, gave him some problems, gave him some struggles. It was a competitive game, but they looked a little overmatched. And I think Houston put themselves, obviously, in a very good position. I mean, I know they play New England next week, but they played some pretty good football, ran the ball very well against a very good Cincinnati defense. You got to give them credit, played some great defense that game. But one thing I did think of was, while watching it, when Schaub threw that pick six, was how you're not really a big believer in Matt Schaub. And honestly, why really should you be? You know, he's a guy who apparently just went through questionable throws. That was a very questionable throw. That really was the only blemish I felt in Houston's game, and something that they're going to have to, you know, worry about in New England as they try to match point for point. But I don't expect them to play that good of defense against the Patriots, obviously. But to me, it's more or less
just the fact that Andy Dalton can't really beat man coverage the way he can abuse zone defenses.
Trey, any thoughts?
Houston, I mean, good win for them, but it's not going to be enough. They had a lot of opportunities to score and only walk away with field goals. And, you know, Cincinnati was never out of the game. When you turn those field goals into touchdowns and you know, this game is almost about. And, yeah, Cincinnati did miss some opportunities, but it's not going to be enough for Houston moving forward. So good win for them. But the next teams are a lot more potent offensively. And if you don't, you know, if you don't get down there and put up seven, you know, when you're in the red zone, you'll pay for it later. And as far as the Bengals, I think they will eventually definitely turn that corner next season. And it's going to be a fight for the NFC North, a real, real fight.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I can't disagree at all. I want to jump forward. I want to preview these games coming up. Be honest with you, I'm more excited. I've been watching coverage of the wild card games all week, and I'm really looking forward to it. We got some very good games coming up. I mean, honestly, I think all four of these games are going to be good games. And usually at this level, there's at least one dud. I can't pick the dud here. I mean, do you guys agree? Is there a dud in these four divisional round games?
Wow, this is the best possible matchups, really. I thought that could possibly happen in this round.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Trey.
I guess I can't really call it a dud because Seattle is such a wild card team. You know, so it's just going to be interesting to see how they plan to, you know, slow down Atlanta's offensive weapons, because Atlanta has a lot of them. And they can play both styles of game. They can grind the game and they can air it. I mean, and they can take it through the air. So that game will be interesting to see how Seattle responds and whether Atlanta will have an answer for this run read option offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all intriguing, and let's take them one at a time. Let's start with the Saturday games. You know, and instead of just making picks, let's get into it a little bit. You know, you have the Ravens now traveling to Denver to play Peyton Manning and the Broncos in Mile High. You know, let's start with K-Star and get some thoughts and analysis. This is a Ravens team that you certainly know well. You've been a huge fan of Peyton Manning this year and the Broncos. What are your thoughts on this game?
You know, I think it's going to be a relatively close game going into the fourth quarter, but I think that Denver, just having, quite frankly, such a higher level of quarterback play with a comparable, arguably better defense than Baltimore, and being at home in the Mile High, you know, air, to me, Baltimore loses this game to Denver, which really shouldn't be too surprising to anyone, but I think it's going to be a fairly competitive game. Baltimore right now is as close to full strength as they have been all season. I mean, Peyton Manning isn't really, I'm sure, throw to play Ray Lewis and Nada and Ed Reed and Stubbs and all those guys. So I think it's going to be a fairly close game, but Denver is just too much Peyton Manning. They're going to pull it off. Peyton Manning owns the Ravens, by the way. Never lost to them, which is, to me, ridiculous. So I got to go with Denver here.
Okay. Train.
I think this would definitely be another emotionally charged game for the Ravens. I think it's a carryover. But, you know, like I said, I think Denver is the most complete team in NFL right now. Definitely most complete team when it comes to both sides of the ball. It's going to be fun to watch the chess match between Ray Lewis and Peyton Manning. I mean, you haven't had a chance to see that this season because, yeah, they didn't play each other this season. So just from that standpoint, you know, you look forward to seeing, you know, Denver offense versus Ravens defense. And, yeah, I mean, even still, I think this is a win for Denver. Mile High Stadium, tough stadium to play in. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you guys. I'm going to pick Denver to win. But I don't think it's going to be as easy of a win as a lot of people think. I just have this feeling that the Ravens are going to ride the Ray Lewis train, and it's going to bring them to another level that they haven't had in a while. I mean, Ray Lewis, no matter what you think about him, is he as Stephen A. Smith says, he is a leader of men. And, you know, what I saw with the Colts and that defense, I mean, they looked as good as I've seen the Ravens D look all year, you know. And the Colts offense has been able to put some points on some pretty good defenses this year, you know, Houston and others. And they couldn't do anything against the Ravens. Now, granted, it was in Baltimore, and it's Ray Lewis's last home game. So I get the added hype. But I think they're going to come into Denver with a chip on their shoulder because I don't think anyone's given them a chance. Denver's won 8 or 9 in a row. Peyton Manning, you know, at home. And I'm picking Denver because it is the smart pick. But this could be the sleeper pick of the playoffs. This could be the upset pick of the playoffs. So watch this game.
I mean, the Ravens were a play away last year from the Super Bowl, as much as I hate to admit it. You know, they were. And, again, this is the healthiest we've seen Baltimore all season long. So it's going to be a great game. It really is. But to me, Denver's the best team in the NFL. So
I have to agree with you on that one. Definitely could be the upset of the weekend.
Yeah. All right, the other Saturday game, we all agree Denver on that one. The other Saturday game is the Packers at the 49ers. And, Train, you know, Packers are your team. And when I say your team, in your division. And going against the 49ers, who at any given week can just look unbeatable. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, they're at Candlestick. And, man, this is pretty much going to be a rematch for the Packers from the beginning of the season. I mean, they were they claimed that they were the better team when they lost that game, and they probably still feel that they're the better team. But you know, all views are set on the field, so we'll see. But I like San Francisco at home in this game, and this will still be another very very close game. But you know, San Francisco is different at quarterback than they were when they first faced the Packers the first time. So, you know, the Packers still struggle at stopping the run, and now they really do have to stop the read option this time with Kaepernick, and, you know, they definitely have to be able to stop Frank Gore. They weren't able to do that the first time around, and I think they will still have their struggles this time around. And, I mean, they had Woodson and Matthews the first time around and still struggled with that offense. So we'll see. But I like San Francisco at home in this game.
I'm here. Yeah. Packers at the 49ers. You said 49ers because they're home?
Yeah, I like 49ers at home.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Packers. I think they've played more consistent football. I think they're playing at a higher level right now. And I don't know. What I saw from the 49ers worried me because, you know, there were games that they just – there was, you know, a couple of games they just – you know, they struggled against the Rams. And I know it's a division opponent, but still – and I just think this is where the Packers become the Packers. You know, I don't know. I gotta go. I'm going with the Packers. I just think they're playing better football. Defense has certainly improved. And you know, when it comes down to it, you know, what do I always say? The first thing I look at is who has a better quarterback. And if it's a wash, then I go back, who has a better head coach? I think head coaching is pretty close. I'd give McCarthy a lead because he does have a Super Bowl. But, I mean, you know, Kaepernick, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers yet. He's got some potential to be a great one, but Aaron Rodgers is a great one. So I'm going to go with the Packers. I am. K-Star.
This is going to be I can't wait to see this game personally. But for me, with the return of Justin Smith, with the home field advantage that the Niners have established through some great physical defensive playoffs season long. And the fact that, they did beat up, again, it was week one, they did beat up Green Bay before. I don't see why they can't do it again at home with an athletic quarterback. I think they'll be able to run the ball, which Green Bay, as we've seen, has struggled with this season. I only go with San Francisco in a nail biter. I can't wait to see this game. To me, this is the game of the week.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I agree. I think either way. And the good news about the playoffs is you really can't go wrong either team you pick. I mean,
right?
you got four games that really, to me, all four of these games could go either way.
Saint just sent me a text to say he was trying to buzz in, so I don't know.
Oh, is he?
He wanted to say Peyton Manning was a good choke. That's his text.
He doesn't choke against Baltimore. We've seen it, so.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know he was back on, so sorry, Saint. He did, but he doesn't hit one. He got to hit one. You want to come on the show, Saint. You hit one, I bring you on. He's sitting there in the lobby, but he didn't hit one. And what I was surprised at, though, to maybe even give Saint an ounce of credit, is that Peyton Manning's playoff record is 9-10, 9 wins and 10 losses. And I was a little surprised at that. But you think about all the years they didn't make the Super Bowl, but they were getting to the playoffs. But I guess I thought, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I would have thought 13-7 or something like that, I would have thought.
It's not very good.
I was surprised. Yeah. All right. Now Saint wants to come on. All right. Let's bring Mr. Saint back on. Welcome back.
Man, I pressed one, and y'all moved on the conversation, so I didn't want to go back to, I didn't want to go back in time and go back, bring this conversation back up. But
since you
started talking about it again, I watched it. He's in our division, and I like Peyton. I root for him, when he wasn't playing us or any of the teams, I kind of favor. I like Peyton Manning. But I'm telling you, when he gets to them playoffs, he becomes a totally different ball player. He's not the same dude like he is in the regular season. Even the year they won those games because their defense caught fire for some unknown reason. They just went crazy on folks. He didn't really play all that well. I'm telling you, he's a different player. I hope he can get over the hump. But, man, he looks bad in the place.
You really hope that he can get over the hump? You mean that?
I hope he can. I hope he can. I don't want him to go down as the dude that just choked in the playoffs because he's different. He's a different dude in the playoffs,
I've watched him. Let's be fair. Now. See, once again, I have to come along and educate this guy. When you say choke, okay, first of all, there's another guy in the AFC that's pretty doggone good named Tom Brady. Okay, and so if you're losing to Tom Brady, I don't know if that's choking. There's another guy in the AFC that has a couple of rings that's pretty good. His name is Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, there have been other teams with superstar quarterbacks. I mean, that's 5 Super Bowls right there that Peyton couldn't even make.
I'm going to have to pull this. I didn't pull his stats. I should have. But, no, I'm talking about interceptions. I'm talking about making just bad plays, not just who he was playing. And I believe the first few years, it wasn't Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Matter of fact, I don't think he didn't get past the first round for, like, the first –
6 years.
Five or six years.
I know.
But then he ran into Tom Brady, then he ran into Ben Roethlisberger, then he ran into Tom Brady again, and so on and so forth. Then Drew Brees.
They would have, like, undefeated, almost nearly undefeated seasons. I mean, they just whooping everybody that get in their way. He gets to the playoffs, just looks bad.
I mean, people, and it hurts me to say this, deeply. But when you say choke and talk about my quarterback choking, I can't defend him anymore. That's what's been happening. I can't use that same word with Manning in the playoffs.
Tino's choking.
I'm sorry to say I know choking.
I'm going to say choke because he's different. You can see it. Just watch. Yeah. He's different. He's not the same. I remember one, I forget what game it is, but I remember you talked about it, how you saw that look in his eye where he was not going to let his team lose.
he don't have that same look in the playoffs.
Well, I'll say this.
To be fair,
and listen, the AFC changed the game 21-3 against the Patriots. He had a look in his eye at home in Indy, and he came back and he beat them. So let's act like he's never done that.
The defense was playing excellent, though.
Not in that game. Not in that particular game. That playoff run, you're right. They absolutely did. But that game, they were terrible. They're going to stop Tom Brady. In that game, that particular game, they gave up about 38 points to the Patriots. That, to me, not very good.
They just gave up like 24 points to the Patriots.
No, you're right.
But
in that simple run, that defense did play spectacular. That is very true. I'm just saying, though, I do want to give him credit. He has played pretty bad in the playoffs before, you know, a few times. Manning has, but you got to give some credit as well. He did put together an incredible comeback to get to the Super Bowl game and then went to Super Bowl MVP as well.
Are you saying the Ravens are going to beat the Broncos?
No, I didn't say all that.
All right, then. So, see.
Someone let me say it to you. I don't know why something would not let me say it. Because I believe, listen, people are not giving this Denver team enough credit. If Tim Tebow can take them to the playoffs and they win a playoff game, then the team is a good team, okay? So, if I had to pick, my gut says Denver's going to win, okay? But I wouldn't be shocked if they lost. Hedging my bet a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, but I mean that's not going out of, you know, you're not.
I'll take it a step further. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost because of Peyton Manning.
Okay, I mean, we could also say defense looked pretty good against the Colts, okay? And Andrew Luck has played at a high level all year. So I'm not saying Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, but he's played at a high level all year. That defense could make any quarterback look bad with what we saw last week. So, I mean, again, I don't think you're going – if you want to go out on the limb and if you think Peyton Manning is the joker in the playoffs, then come on out and say Ravens are going to win the game. That's what I want to hear.
You know what? I believe you're right. You done convicted my spirit right there. I'm going to say the Ravens are going to win. And I believe they are going to win, and I believe it's going to be because of Peyton Manning. I believe he's going to choke. They're going to expose the defense of the Ravens. Are going to expose them, and they're going to win the game. I believe they are going to win. I'm picking the Ravens to win that game.
Hey, Train.
Yes.
If Joe Flacco
gets on the air, you need to tell your boy how I just okey doked him, okay?
You convicted me on that one. You pulled me in on that one. I appreciate that. I believe the Ravens are going to win this game. They're going to win.
There's at least one woman out there. I wish I could do that too. But anyway, I should do that because you know she might be listening.
Man, I'm taking it.
All right,
but mark my words, he's different in the playoffs. Just watch him. He's different in the playoffs.
Okay.
He's always been.
Well, we do know that Peyton Manning is a great regular season quarterback, and but I think there's reasons why. You know, I just think you have to be in a conference with some other very accomplished quarterbacks. Ben's got, you know.
But that's why. That's why I put Tom Brady a step ahead of him.
Oh, you have to.
I don't like him more. I ain't saying I like him more, but I have to put Tom Brady a step ahead of him. If we ranked him today, I would have to put him a step ahead of him because Tom Brady gets it done in the playoffs and regular season.
But is it? I mean, and you know, we can probably let maybe save this conversation.
Go on then.
Yeah, because is it all Brady? Is it Belichick? Is it coaching? I think there's a lot of intangibles. You know, if you put Belichick, for 12 years with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning has, I don't know, who was the first coach before Dungy got there?
Jim Mora.
Moore. Yeah, Jim Moore. Playoff.
Playoff.
Yeah, playoff. Yeah, you know. Wait a minute. I believe.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
We're just trying to win a game. You know, you put Dungy, who was a great coach. You put Caldwell there, and now you've got Chuck Strong there. You got, you know, Pagano. And at the same time, it's been Belichick the whole time. Now, flip it around. Are we not having a conversation in reverse? That's what I'm saying. Because I think
I don't think so, because this is what I'm saying. I'm saying Peyton Manning is different in the playoffs, man. He's just, it's him. He's in the playoffs. He is different. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's nervous, but he is different. If, had it been the same Peyton Manning in the regular season as it was in the playoffs, I believe he would have more rings.
I think if you listen to the Madden voice all year, one of the things we tried to teach our listeners is that coaching matters. Okay? Coaching matters. Remember that. All right.
I believe it.
We're going to pick some more games. Thanks, Saint.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Sunday games. You know, I think this is going to be a heck of a game. You know, Train hit on it really good earlier, Seahawks at the Falcons. You got the Falcons virtually unbeatable at home, something like 33-4, whatever Matt Ryan is in the stadium. But you've got the Seahawk team went into Washington, handled the Redskins, very aggressive defense, read option, Wilson, you know, Sidney Rice, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, man, you know, and we know that the Falcons have not been able to get it done in the playoffs. So with that said, let's start with Dr. Train on this one. Who do you think is going to win this game?
Seahawks just don't have enough firepower, man. They're going to have to find a way to keep that Atlanta offense off the field. Because, you know, I know I'm not putting Matty Ice in the same arena with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and not even Aaron Rodgers, but just the Falcons offense alone, the totality of their offense, man, they just have a lot of weapons. Those guys can score, and they can win games no matter how ugly it gets. They know how to win football games. They've done that. Yeah, they haven't been successful in the playoffs, but you know, I would say that if they were facing maybe like the Packers or maybe even the Giants, but I don't think Seattle has enough to take them out. But it would be interesting to see how physical Seattle gets with them in order to slow them down.
Yeah, we missed. I'm sorry, we missed in the chat room. It's so hard to manage so many things when you're doing the show, but we missed, and I just want to shout out a guy that was in the chat room, and apparently Mile High Sports Radio Denver came in and checked us out for a few minutes, AnthonyRod.com. Don't know him, never seen him before, but he popped in. So let's give him a shout out, and by the way, he loved the fact that we picked Denver. And Ray Lewis Train coming into the station before the doors open, Mile High, it ends here. I thought it was a funny comment. So shout out to him for giving the Madden voice a listen to. You never know who's going to pop through the Madden voice. Train picks the Falcons over the Seahawks, says that the Seahawks just don't have enough firepower. K-Star.
This is really good games this weekend, obviously, but I really think Seattle wins this game. I've seen a few games this season in which Atlanta struggled at home to put up points. And if they find themselves in position, and Seattle has a very good defense, I think that's very possible. To me, that clearly favors Marshawn Lynch in the ground game with Seattle, as Michael Turner's come done in Atlanta. I think that Seattle will be able to control both sides of the ball in the line of scrimmage. And, again, I feel like in a close game, a close low-scoring game, this has to favor Seattle. So, for me, I'm going Seattle on an upset.
I got to give K-Star credit for making that pick. I got to tell you, I've been torn on this game. The Falcons have not gotten it done in the playoffs. You know, and again, when you come down to it, you know, what I say, first thing I look at is quarterback. I got to tell you, I like Wilson over Matty Ryan. I got to tell you, I really do. And then I say I look at the coaching, and I'd say, I don't know, coaching might be a wash, but I may give just a tip to the Seahawks, maybe. But Train makes a very valid point that Atlanta just has so many weapons. You know, I'm reluctantly going to go ahead with Atlanta and say they get past this game. Seattle's maybe a year away, and maybe this time next year we're looking at Seattle and saying, can anyone beat them? You know, maybe one more year from now, Seattle is looking like San Francisco was looking for a while, unbeatable with that defense, and another year to get that offense perfected. Although, again, although Seattle doesn't rely on the read option as much as Washington, it is more of a tool and not just their entire offense. But I'm telling you, I really want to go ahead with K-Star and go with Seattle on this one. But I just feel like Seattle, to me, is kind of like the Colts, like great year, but I think their time's going to run out. And I think Atlanta, you know, Gonzalez is probably his last year. And I think they're tired of being labeled the team that can't get it done. I think they're going to come out determined to get it done. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Atlanta, but man, I give K-Star a lot of credit for making that pick. That is, you know, I don't have those cojones. I really don't.
Hey, put this cojones up there with Pete Carroll, boy.
And there you have it. And there you have it. Last but not least, we have Texans at the Patriots. Let's start with K-Star on this one.
Yeah, for me, not every game is the same, and not every game is going to be a repeat of what's happened before. But when you look at New England, you look at Houston, you look at two teams that are on two different tiers, in my opinion, especially with New England at home, with all the experience they've had, with the fact of the matter that Houston loves to play man coverage. New England has guys that beat them every which way. I'm going New England. I think it'll be much closer than the first game was, but to me, it's still not enough. So I like the Patriots at home because I think it's a championship game.
Okay. Train?
Man, I know you want us to put some analysis in these picks, but honestly, I can't find any analysis in these picks. Someone has to explain to me why this game would not be a blowout, especially with, isn't Gronkowski supposed to be back? So he gets his most dangerous offensive weapon back, and this game is supposed to be any different than the first? Especially after Houston played against Cincinnati, not to take anything from Cincinnati, but still, it was a game that Houston could have ran away with them as many opportunities as they had to score. Dude, yeah, I would probably be finding something else to do when this game comes up, by the time we're halfway through the game.
Yeah, and, you know, this is probably, of all four games, to me, the clearest pick of the four, and it scares me. Yeah, I got to go with the Patriots. And, you know, I think what we're, you know, if you guys, you know, look at it, what we're really boiling down to is Peyton against Tom Brady again. And that's what everybody wants to see. Now, we know we saw it earlier this year, but, you know, I think Denver was still getting their feet underneath them. So I think now it would be a heck of a game. And on the NFC side, I mean, you know, we've kind of split on whether the Packers or the 49ers – you know, go against you know, maybe the Falcons, but I mean, you know, NFC is a little more wide open. But I think AFC we're pretty much seeing the two stallions going up against each other, and anything short of that will be a disappointment. NFC, I mean, it's kind of wide open. You know, we could have the Packers, you know, hosting the Seahawks, or who knows? We really, you know, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be very interesting. All right, K-Star, any final thought?
No, I'm just hoping to see the fantasy. Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. That to me would be just poetic justice in the way off it should be.
Okay. Let me make sure that I don't know if this is an old hit or a new hit. Saint, we're bringing you back on. I don't know if you had any other comments before we get off the air.
Oh, no. I was just sitting here listening. No.
Okay, good. Thanks. I wasn't sure if he had hit one again. Okay. Trent, any last comments?
Man, not much. Once again, I love the TMV, especially now since I'm broadcasting from a new location. It's just kind of surreal, but looking forward to the games this weekend.
Okay. I don't plan to do a show this week. However, depending on what goes on in the NFL, I may come back later in the week and do a show. Really to cover the games. I think we've talked about the games enough, but I'm still in shock over Rob Ryan being fired. I'd like to understand why that happened. There's rumors in Dallas that Norv Turner is certainly an option to bring in as offensive coordinator. It really looks like Jerry Jones is trying to do something with this team, and I don't know how to feel about it right now, because I don't know that Rob Ryan was a problem with this team. So I don't know. I may have to come on and, you know, use the power of the media to get some frustration off my back. So we'll see. But if not, then I want everybody to enjoy the games. I'm sorry. I'm just Rob Ryan was interviewed, and it looks like Jason Garrett called him by cell phone and fired him. And Ryan was completely surprised, and he's commenting now that he'll be out of work for like 5 minutes. And his quote is, Jerry Jones says we'd be very uncomfortable for the next couple of weeks and months, and he says, I'm uncomfortably numb. So I think he's pretty surprised and irritated too. I don't get it. I don't get it, but this is developing as we speak, so I'm watching the quote scroll across the NFL Network channel. Anyway, Saint, thanks for all the love and support. Aussie Adam, we had some words on MaddenVoice.com, but nothing love for you down there in the Outback, and interested in your feedback on the show tonight. And Dr. Train, congratulations on the new job, the new home, and everything. Now when I finally meet you, heck, we ain't got to meet in New York or Pennsylvania. I'm coming to California to meet you, my brother, because I need a reason to go to the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to that. And K-Star, well, I don't know. That's about
great as usual. Thank you.
Anyway, all right. Thanks, K-Star. Thanks, Dr. Train. Everybody, enjoy the games this week. We're down to the divisional, then the conference, and then the Super Bowl. So enjoy it while you can, because it's almost gone. Thanks for the support, the Madden Voice. You know, we're going to be talking about our off-season schedule. We are not going to have as much downtime this offseason as we had last year. So we'll be talking about that over the next few weeks. But you guys are really digging the show, so we're going to keep giving you the show, okay? That's how we roll. So for Train, for K-Star, for everybody out there, want to say thank you for the love and the support. And remember, the Madden Voice, we're here to entertain and educate, but all feuds are always settled on the field. Good night, everybody.